The gentle sounds of Michael Godeau pouring a cup of tea in the background mean that you're listening to Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS radio on this fine day in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Penn Jillette. Across me is Michael Godeau. Is your tea all set?
My tea's all set.
Get your sugar in there and everything?
I haven't stirred it yet, but you'll hear that in a minute. I'm continuing the realistic sounds of our morning.
The audio theater
yeah.
of the Penn Jillette show. I want to play this thing. I'm not going to play it right away. I don't have to reach for it yet, Patrick. I'm going to explain it first. The State of the Union was last night, and I didn't watch it. Did you watch it?
I did not watch it.
The moment of it?
No.
I read some of the transcript of it, and I read some reports on it, but I didn't watch it at all.
You know, I was watching, Comedy Central last night afterwards, and, they had Hillary Clinton on, and it seemed that she disagreed with the speech.
She was not at Comedy
Central? It was a surprise to have her on.
She was on Comedy Central?
Yeah.
What was she doing on Comedy Central?
I didn't listen to her either.
I was listening to Gary Carr. Gary Carr, who is a tremendous... he's Tiger Woods.
You know? Right.
Tiger Woods. He is Tiger Woods. He is... I don't know why I'm using... a golf analogy. If you were trying to explain to me how good Tiger Woods was, you would say to me, he's Gary Carr. You know, that's the way you would say it to me. But now I'm doing it backwards.
He's the Richard Feynman of bass.
Yeah. That's not even true. Because Richard Feynman might have been, the best, but it's not necessary. I guess for particle physics, he was the best. But Gary Carr is not the best bass player. The best classical bass player alive today. He's probably the best classical bass player there ever was. That's astonishing.
Them's big words, my friend.
That someone can be good like that at something. And Gary Carr came over to the house last night,
right.
And we had dinner. And then he, in my little home theater, in my living room, he set up with his accompanist on the grand piano, Harmon, and they played about a 45-minute, longer than that maybe, but the time flew by, classical music concert on the bass. And I chose to listen to that rather than the State of the Union speech.
Right. And as I pointed out earlier, his career hasn't gone as well as he hoped.
No, he's
the greatest bass player ever is playing at your house. Who's booking that?
He's a friend of mine.
All right.
And he's retired, and he only plays for friends now and for classes and so on and for teaching. He doesn't no longer tours the world. But he's been touring the world, 40 years he was on the road. And he's just amazing. Everything I would say about his bass playing would sound stupid, because to me it's like amazing that he's playing in tune. But
he's been tuning all the time.
Because when I play the bass, that's an issue. That really is an issue. But we didn't watch the State of the Union, so we are more than qualified. And what troubles me, and then of course we're talking about fear here, and one of the things the State of the Union does is keep reinforcing this fear stuff. Everybody talks about how, fear of being a failure, and we've got all this terrorism stuff going, and the Amber Alerts, they reprinted a song of Randy Newman's in the New York Times today about the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and there's always something to fear. And it is fear that takes away our rights. It's fear that makes the airports, look so terrible and horrible and embarrassing. And while thinking of all this fear stuff, our good friends at Reason magazine have put up on their website, which I guess was it, Reason.org, Reason.com,
yeah, one of them.
To do a search for Reason magazine. It's actually Hit and Run is their blog. And they put up a clip from the Andy Griffith Show that I just could not believe. Not because it's so wild or crazy, but because it's so sane. And it is exactly and precisely the nut point of view. It's exactly what I would say. It's exactly what you would say about freedom. And yet it's Andy Griffith saying
And what, 1965?
I'm guessing around 65, whenever the Andy Griffith Show was on. But there's one thing that our listeners do know, and that is that they're supposed to be correcting us at every step of the way. 866-570-PEN, 7366, 866-570-PEN. Penn, P-E-N-N. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. God damn, Gary Carr was good. And then afterwards, of course, Jones was playing, and Maury Loudon, who's a fabulous jazz bass player. We were lousy. We were maggoty with basses last night. And Maury had his, like, 300-year-old Italian bass, and he was playing this cool jazz on it. And during that time, you called and told me to go over and see your wife.
That's right. And I want to thank you for going and scaring the heck out of her.
Well, she wasn't answering her phone.
She wasn't answering the phone.
And you were worried about her. So my wife and I got it. We were thinking we were going over to meet Charlie Manson in the middle.
Right. My kids and wife were tied up and beaten on the floor. Yeah, what you were expecting. That's what we were all expecting.
What we took was, for protection, a camera and a flashlight. That was I don't have a gun at the house.
Do you have a squirt camera?
I don't have anything. I don't even have a baseball bat. I have nothing. You know, and I was thinking after heading over there, because, you know, Godot calls up and goes, hi, Emily.
Yeah, that's basically the conversation.
That was about the conversation. Yeah. So you had to go, because you were
I was at work.
Also far away at Lance's Theater. And we live very close. So we'd never been to your house because you never invite us over.
Right.
You just,
that makes perfect sense.
Go, yeah.
If I invited you over, I would have to call other people to check and see if my wife were safe.
So, we headed over, and it was one of the times I really wished I had a gun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're talking about fear, I wished I had something other than, what did I have? I had car keys, a flashlight, and a camera, and then I scared the living daylights out of your wife because she wasn't expecting us. Because,
well, also, we have that video camera, you know, when you push and you're a foot taller than the video camera, so all she sees is a giant chest. There's a bear outside.
866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com.
Thank you for saving my wife.
My view on freedom is that it should be as far in the direction of freedom as possible. Freedom for everyone. Freedom of speech. You should be able to go to the airport and get on the airplane with no searching whatsoever. You should never, ever trade safety for liberty. And as far as what's happening in Guantanamo Bay and all that stuff, all the stuff being done to the terrorists, is when terrorists scare us and kill people and do that kind of damage, the way we fight them back is with more freedom. Right after 9/11, what I did, one of the things I did, was Teller and I went to New York to be in the Rocky Horror show. And we chose to do Rocky Horror because Broadway was not doing well, of course, after 9/11. And I understand that these are minuscule problems. The fact that Broadway isn't doing well is not the issue. But it's one of the things that I was aware of at the time. So we went in to do a celebrity turn in Rocky Horror. And I was really proud. And I mean this with no sort of joking at all. There's no gag in this. I was really proud to be in a show that celebrated sex and had men cross-dressing. I was proud to put on fishnet stockings. I was proud to put on high heels. And I was proud to do that Rocky Horror dance because I knew that the people that had flown the planes into that building did not approve of that kind of celebration of life, celebration of sex, and that acceptance of all sorts of bisexuality and gayness and everything else. And that, I thought, was the way to celebrate freedom. And I thought that after 9/11, the direction to go in was to just make the country more free. To just say, this is the amount of damage you can do to us. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave. Did I say that right? Yeah. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we are willing, after you've done this, to still go to airports without searching people. We're willing to still allow people to have freedom of speech. We're willing to still have due process. And that position, since 9/11, has been the nut position, the absolute wacko position. But we're going to go back now to sometime in the mid-60s. Anybody written to us and told us when the ending of the show was? 866-570-PEN.
I think they're waiting for this episode because someone will know the day and time that it was on.
866-570-PEN, 7366. You should be able to get from the context what this is about. But Opie, Ron Howard, great director Ron Howard, here as kid star Opie in the Andy Griffith Show, has brought a tape recording.
Snuck a tape recorder.
Into the jailhouse.
Into the jail cell.
And heard a criminal confessing and explaining how he did the crime. And Andy Griffith has been handed this tape by Opie. Andy Griffith plays, I believe, Andy Taylor. See that? I know
that's
that.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, I think yes, Andy Taylor. Is that his name?
Yep.
And Opie Taylor. And this is a conversation of those two characters, which is actually Ron Howard and Andy Griffith, talking about our freedoms. And I'm not going to heckle this or anything. It's just astonishing that the point of view is so clear and the freedom is so clear. And I also want to say that this nut point of view that I talk about, this nut point of view, I also believe I am with the majority here. I believe that most Americans, the overwhelming majority of Americans, agree with this. And if you don't, or if you do, 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Patrick, who is back with us and healthy again, we're very glad to see. Hit it!
We hit it up in the cell window.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul...
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this...
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape.
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul...
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
Opie, the law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
Perfect.
It's amazing.
Perfect.
It's just an astonishing piece of text.
And that's from, I should actually check what the Reason site is so I give out the right thing. Is
Reason.com.
Is it Reason.com?
It's Reason.com.
Yeah. Reason.com. Our friends, the Libertarians, have that up. It's also from YouTube. And it's a clip from the Andy Griffith Show. It's just wonderful. And you know, for someone like me who can cry at Bruce Willis movies, that's pretty touching. That's pretty touching. And if you see the video, and you know, if you look it up, you will. He's erasing the tape. He's got tape that shows, you know, that there's a criminal. And I think that's really, really beautiful. I think it's really great that the due process is more important than catching bad guys. Catching bad guys is not worth the violation of any rights whatsoever. You look like you're going to say something.
No, I'm not. I'm still agape at Andy. There's never been a finer man than Andy Taylor. Yeah.
But this is different. Yes, this is worse. That's what he says.
Yeah, right. this is worse.
Yes, this is worse. This is different. Yes, this is worse.
And he's doing it with his son.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
It's just great.
Nobody would know. He's just standing up for what's right.
Well, except there's the TV cameras.
But those guys.
Yeah, they're only black and white cameras. 866-570-PEN.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's just black and white. Today they would, you know,
there'd be all these
Law and Order,
gray.
The executive, all these other things that could come into it.
But Andy Taylor had things black and white. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. That is PENNRADIO @gmail.com. And we're talking about freedom. Is there a time when you give up your rights for safety? And how long is the fear of terrorism going to keep us doing things that go directly against the things we believe? And why can't we use Andy Taylor as a barometer for morality and for legality? Let's talk to Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Penn. Hi, Godot.
Hey, how's it?
That's a cool clip, isn't it?
Oh, definitely love it.
That's great. What's up?
Actually, I'm calling in from Canada, where right now there's a huge pandemic going on. Excuse my wording there, but what we have going on is right now, for Canadians like myself to get into America by air, we have to have our passports now. Usually we never had that before. And what this is actually causing is there's a bunch of people who are now considered nobodies because they're either born on American soil and the paperwork is done wrong, who are no longer considered Americans. So people are actually losing their citizenship and rights of freedom over it.
Yeah, because if you're, yeah, this is going for, it used to be that to go to Mexico and Canada and vice versa, you did not need a passport. And starting when? Is it already in place now?
Yeah, and Canada actually went in place 2 days ago, and right now, even to get a passport, there's about an 8-hour wait in line just to develop the paperwork.
And there's a lot of people that would just skip across the border. I mean, when I was playing Detroit, I went across the border to go to strip clubs up there, right? You have some really good strip clubs in Canada.
Oh, I did the exact same thing, actually. When I was 18, I skipped down to the States to hang with my buddies when I was supposed to be in New Brunswick.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Also, you know, the up until Starbucks actually spread coffee across America, the coffee in Canada on the other side of the border was better. So you could get up in the morning and drive to Canada and have a cup of coffee and then come back.
Yeah, the borders used to be very porous. And this year, you'll want to see this on Bull's Hit. We have we're doing an episode on immigration and the fact that the border should be more porous. And it's interesting, but on the show we're only going to deal with the Mexican border, but we should be dealing with the Canadian border. Now, I do not want to be a person to say anything good about Canadians. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be there, but I just can't see a reason for putting passports there. Now, the idea is that terrorists could come in through Toronto and move. I guess they could go through any city.
All the people in the 9/11 conspiracy were here legally.
Yeah, they all came over on visas directly. All these rules we're putting in do not in any way
would not have stopped one of them. Would not have
9/11.
Stopped one of them.
And it's just ridiculous. And letting the Canadians just move across that border back and forth and letting Americans move across the border seems really important. That went into place 2 days ago?
Yeah, about 2 days ago, I believe, is when I heard it on the radio that it officially went into place where Canadians started getting kicked off planes because they didn't have passports with them or were put over to customs
to
get a passport made.
Do you fly to the U.S. often?
I've actually only done it twice. I'm not much of a traveler. I do plan on coming over again in March break and have to have a passport ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have a passport before that, did you?
No, I just got over with my basic driver's license. That's all they required from me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would just like to see, you know, I don't see any reason at all to have strong borders, really, with anybody with the U.S., because I just think we should let people in. You know, give us your poor, especially give us your Canadians, and especially give us your very attractive Canadian strippers. Because that was the best thing about Canada. There were some places outside of Toronto.
That's what Quebec is for.
Yeah, I forget what it was called, but it was just a great place for lap dances and naked women. I liked that. So thanks a lot, Aaron, for filling us in on that, because I've been reading that, but I hadn't really been paying attention to when it happened.
Yeah, you know, 10 years ago, I actually was flying to Toronto to do a show. No, 7 years ago, exactly, because it was just when my son was born.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to go home and get a passport. I was at the airport, and they said, you can't fly to Canada without a passport.
7 years ago?
Yeah, 7 years ago.
I didn't even... You...
They would not allow me to fly into Toronto without a passport. I had
wow.
to go home from the airport and make it back in time for the flight.
And did you do it?
I did, somehow.
Woo-hoo!
I have no idea how.
Well, you used to do 2 shows a night in 2 different locations and change clothes in your car,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've had some practice.
We're talking about freedom as preached by Andy Griffith on the
on
Andy Griffith
October
Show.
October 30th, 1967, Episode 8, Season 8, The Tape Recorder. Thank you, Chad.
Just read that whole thing again slower there, Godot.
Season 8, Episode 8, The Tape Recorder. Original air date, 30th of October, 1967.
Okay, good. And that's why you listen to this show. So that Godot and Penn can ask stupid questions and people can answer them just so quickly.
And the next U.S. airing, Monday, January 29th, 2 a.m. on TV Land.
When is it?
Monday, January 29th, 2 a.m., TV Land.
That's next Monday.
Yeah.
Next Monday,
yeah.
It'll be on. You can watch the whole thing. Let's all get together. Party in my house. 866-570-PEN, 7366. God damn, Gary Carr was good. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Michael Godot on that other mic. This is Penn Jillette on this one, and we're on CBS Free FM. This is Ben Gillette, who pours his tea before the music starts.
That's why you're the boss.
In Las Vegas here at the CBS Radio, Free FM. And Michael Godot, who pours his tea sometimes during the music. And that was the music of the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. with me playing bass. Although last night I heard Mike Jones playing piano while Maury Loudon played bass, and it was a whole different thing. The man is a monster. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com, PenRadio.com. We're talking about freedom. And we're talking about Andy Griffith. That was a wonderful clip we played. If you missed, we might play a little bit later. Our newest friend, Robin, wrote in and he said, that's not the nut view, it's the constitutional view. I'm not a libertarian, I'm about as liberal as they come, and I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. You know, that's nice to hear, because I get so caught up in the positions that I take being absolutely insane, because people tell me that all the time. That's why I was so happy to hear Andy Griffith and now this guy Robin the Liberal. Robin the Liberal and Andy Griffith of Mayberry both agree with me that that's the wrong thing to do. Here's another very kind letter from Leslie, who says, hi, Mike and Penn. No reference to sexy in there at all.
It's probably a typo.
Yeah. Hi, Mike and Penn. Your speech about freedom and the Rocky Horror, she says picture show, but it was just the Rocky Horror Show because it was on live. Your speech about freedom and the Rocky Horror Show brought a tear to my eye. No joke. It was that picturing me in tights and on fishnets. I wish we were all that brave. We want to protect ourselves and loved ones, but at what point are we no longer living life, or at least living the vita loca, living freedom? Let's talk to, is that Nick or Rick? I'm too far away from
That's
it.
Nick. Okay. That's Nick and a Rick.
Hey, Nick, how you doing? Hey.
Not too bad about yourself.
Never better, boss. What's up, man?
I just had a quick comment about that, the radio clip.
Mm-hmm.
I had a quick situation for you. Put yourself in these shoes.
I will.
Let's say you're sitting at home, or you're out of town. Some guy comes to your house, rapes and kills your wife, and you can't prove it. But he's in, you know, talking to his attorney in the room, and he admits it. Uh-huh. But there's no way to prove it besides that. Would you be for letting him go free so he can go out and kill, you know, the rest of your family, your children? Or, you know, would you rather have him in jail just to save that criminal's rights, the murderer's rights?
Okay, well, this is the question. This is the question, clearly. My feeling is, and this gets a little bit self-referential, my feeling is that my feeling would be, and I want to say that I cannot in any way picture this situation, and anyone going through that kind of pain and grief, whatever they do is right to me. I don't know how I would react, and however they would react would be fine. I think that a person going through that, I bet I would certainly say that his rights should be suspended. I bet I would certainly say that I would want him dead. I bet I would certainly say that I would be a vigilante and want to take law into my own hands. I think that emotional response is 100% correct. But I think society as a whole should try to be more moral and protect our rights more. So it is our unpleasant job to say to a person who is suffering that much, we're not going to use that tape because the overall freedoms and the protection from the government is more important, and we understand your grief, but we cannot act out of the pain that you're feeling. We must try to act in a way that preserves freedom, even though you may not want us to in your pain.
But don't you think in certain circumstances, such as the one I just said, that the rules should be bent to that extent?
No, I just don't think so, because if you do not have an advocate that you can speak to, if you cannot talk to your lawyer in privacy, if you do not have one person, I mean, this is the whole argument about lawyers. A lawyer has to defend someone that they know is guilty, because our system is set up so that even the worst criminal has one advocate, one person to try to find everything that could possibly help that person. And that's important, because that keeps the checks and balances in line. So when we protect the guilty criminal's rights, we're protecting our rights in the system. And I think that's really important. And if you bend that, if you say this person is obviously guilty, so we should bend the rules this time, if you do that enough, you no longer have the rules, you no longer have protection. And at some point down the line, the protection of that guilty will then protect the innocent down the line.
All right.
I mean, that's what I feel. I mean, and I know that when you start making it specific and graphic and try to bring up the pain that way and try to bring up the fear, the temptation is there to bend the rules, but I think that we have to be better than what we feel.
If we go down that road, the day is going to come when we just trust the police officers to always be right, and they're not always right.
Yeah, and no matter how hard they try, very good people can do wrong, and you don't want to. I don't want anyone to have that power, including me. I don't want to have absolute power to make that decision. But thanks an awful lot, Nick. Thanks for thinking about that. Thanks for calling in. 866-570-PEN. I almost have the phone number memorized. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. But you will notice my eyes go down to the computer screen every single time. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We're talking about our freedoms as explained by Andy Griffith. And, you know, that's that hard issue, is, you know, would you want to bend it if it were your life? And, you know, wouldn't you, you know, I'm against, very strongly against capital punishment. And, you know, they always say if these things were done to you, wouldn't you want that person dead? I can't predict. I say no now. Probably when the time came and I was tested, I probably would want that person dead, but that doesn't make it right.
I understand that. Yeah. If someone had hurt my children, then yes. I would say there'd probably be nothing that would stop me from trying to hurt them back. I hope that society's better than that.
Yeah.
I don't think that I am. But I hope as a group we can make those rules.
Well, you know, there's this feeling that the government is people at their worst. And I think that we should try as society to be together better than we are individually. You know, we should all be trying to be Andy Griffith. That's what I'm saying. We should all be trying to be Andy Griffith and not Barney Fife.
Yeah, did you see the other clip of Barney trying to memorize the sheriff's code?
No, people are sending us other clips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got a lot of other Andy Griffith.
We're going to get a lot of other Andy Griffith clips. We could probably do a show every day about issues brought up on the Andy Griffith show.
We should do a year of review of the Andy Griffith show. I mean, obviously, they did at least 8 seasons. We can probably get a year out of that.
Let's talk to Nick. Let's talk to Rick, just to make it difficult for me. Hi, Rick. What's up, man?
Hi, Ben. That Andy Griffith clip was excellent.
Isn't it great?
I made a pretty similar point on the atheist blog I write on fairly recently. But I wanted to say that...
But you didn't do it to Ron Howard, did you? You didn't have Ron Howard in the scene with you. A pretty similar point, yes, Mr. Atheist, but you weren't Andy Taylor in Mayberry. Let me just make that very clear.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But one of the things that frustrated me most about the years following 9/11 is the people that would say 9/11 changed everything. It didn't. It shouldn't have changed any of our freedoms.
It only changed everything if they were completely successful in everything they tried to do.
Exactly.
If they failed...
It made me want to tear my hair out every time I heard it.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with George Carlin actually a year or so after 9/11. And as I was watching the news on 9/11, one of the things I said to my girlfriend at the time is I turned to her and said, there goes our rights, there goes our freedoms, there goes our civil liberties. And when I told George Carlin that on the phone, he ran to his notebook. He has a notebook with him all the time. And he had written on 9/11 just shortly after, the event, and he was watching the news. He wrote in his notebook, "There goes our civil liberties." And I'll tell you that as kind of pessimistic and goofy as I was at the time, I really didn't think it would be that bad. I thought that America would just kind of stand up and say, this really horrible thing happened, but those people should not have died in vain. We must keep our freedoms. And I'm surprised by how much things did change. Maybe that's very naive and very optimistic, but I was pretty shocked by how much our airports changed, and now this, you know, the wiretapping and all that stuff going on.
And suspension of habeas corpus.
Yeah. All that stuff seems terrible. Why don't you tell us where your blog is so people can check it out?
It's called Unscrewing the Inscrutable.
Uh-huh.
It's www.brentrasmussen.com. It's really hard to just look for Unscrewing the Inscrutable. It's much easier.
Unscrewing the Inscrutable. Okay, I'm going to hang up on you pretty quickly because it sounds like you're taking a shower while you're calling us.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. He didn't sound like he was taking a shower. Something's really,
on the subway, man.
Really, really loud. Something like that. 866-570-PEN, 7366, penradio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. It's a pretty wonderful topic when we have atheists, liberals, and Andy Taylor all agreeing that freedom is a really good idea. Also agreeing with that is Michael Godot across from me, and my name is Penn Jillette. We're on Free FM CBS Radio. Who the hell do I think I am? Well, the answer is Penn Jillette. I'm here on the Free FM, CBS Radio, with Michael Godot sitting across from me. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366 if you want to call in. PennRadio@gmail.com, and PennRadio.com is the website. And Michael Godot?
Yes?
Would you make sure that link for YouTube of Andy Griffith that we played gets sent to the website? So you can go to PennRadio.com, I guess by tomorrow, certainly.
Hopefully.
And watch, I say certainly, Godot says hopefully.
One of us has to deal with it.
And it's on TV Land.
The 29th at 2 a.m.
Monday night at 2 a.m. Is it Monday night at 2 a.m.?
Monday night. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it must be
Tuesday morning at 2 a.m.?
Monday morning.
So that's Sunday night at 2 a.m.
Sunday night, 2 a.m. Okay. Monday morning, okay. 2 a.m.
866-570-PEN if you want to call in. We played the Andy Griffith thing from... This is Penn Jillette at Mayberry RFD. Now, Mayberry RFD was a different show from the Andy Griffith show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Mayberry RFD was Ken Berry playing the sheriff, I think, who came in after Andy Griffith got sick of it. Was Andy Griffith a great guy, like a fabulous guy? Because he was also in, like, weird movies like Ace in the Hole. And was he in Ace in the Hole?
You know,
and some sort of preacher movie?
I never met him. I don't know.
I think he was a great... I wonder what kind of guy he was. You know, like Fred McMurray, who was like a sax player or something. Andy Griffith seems like he could have been a great guy. I don't know. Let's talk to Aaron. We know Aaron, right? Yep. How you doing, Aaron? This is Penn.
Hey, Penn. Hey, Michael. How are y'all doing today?
Yeah, you're our friend that's the game warden, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Gave us
those cool money clips and stuff. Cool.
Yeah.
I love Aaron.
Hey, you guys talking about freedom, I wanted to give you my perspective on this topic.
Sure.
Because here in the state of Texas, we're given a tremendous amount of authority in what we do.
Don't you mean the great state of Texas?
The great state of Texas.
Yeah.
That's right. Not everything's bigger, but that's for another show.
Okay.
but anyway, you know, whenever I do my job, I always try to keep in mind, you know, the people's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while we're given the authority to conduct searches and make stops without probable cause, okay, I still don't like to conduct business that way, just because I've been on the receiving end of things like that, and I just think that it's not right,
uh-huh.
Right, personally.
Yeah.
Even though it's there for us, and I try to do my best to ensure people's freedom, even if I know I've got them dead to rights, guilty as hell, I can't do that. And you know what your other caller was talking about earlier, about you know being in the room where a person's making res gestae statements to his attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still, that, you know, sometimes you gotta let them go, even if you know they're guilty, if you don't have anything.
Yeah, well, I think the vast majority of people in law enforcement agree with that and want to do everything right, and that doesn't mean that we can still trust them. We still have to make sure that the laws are in place to protect their freedoms.
Absolutely, absolutely. And whenever one of our own does something bad, then it reflects on the rest of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, so let's you know, we have a public trust, and I think that it's a sacred thing and needs to be protected.
You just quoted Andy Griffith.
I missed that part of the show, but yeah, Andy Griffith's great. And just kind of on a side note, I did a very bad Barney Fife impression to get me out of trouble when I stumbled onto a camp where they were cooking methamphetamine. And it was a very dangerous situation. But
game warden, goodness gracious, and you got methamphetamine?
Yeah, if I hadn't done the Barney Fife, I think that I wouldn't be talking to you guys today.
Well, tell us that story. What happened? My voice just cracked like Barney Fife.
Well,
you guys ain't shooting squirrels. I guess I'll leave you alone.
You know, it was funny because they had guns and they said they were squirrel hunting with them. I'm looking around, I'm like, boy, that's pretty big to be shooting that little squirrel with. But I was responding to a trespassing call, one of my landowners, and I showed up and there were all these people and I saw all the paraphernalia, there were weapons laying around, and so I did the only thing I knew how to do, and I was like, hey, you guys seen some kids on bicycles around here?
That's really good.
That's a good Barney Fife.
Now, the main guy, he looked basically kind of like a human pit bull with tattoos all over him.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at me, and I don't know what he's thinking. I'm just standing there waiting for, you know, for some response, and he goes, can you do Floyd the Barber?
He did not.
He did.
He did not. You're going to hell for that. He did not think you'd do Floyd the Barber.
He did.
Oh, that's so cool. And did you?
No. I backed out of there. I said, I'm looking for somebody else. Y'all take care. And I left.
And then you went back and got reinforcements?
Well, it turns out I was contacted a month later by some outside agencies. I won't say who they are. But, you know, they needed my assistance getting back in there. To help them execute several warrants and stuff, so it was it was pretty crazy. It's you know, it's, thank God for Barney. And my rationale was that you know nobody ever tried to get into a fight with Barney.
Absolutely,
so he was pretty safe.
Well, thank you so much, Aaron. And I think when we're talking this much about Andy Griffith and Barney Fife, I do want to point out something I've said before on the show, that Barney Fife and Don Knotts and Mick Jagger look almost identical. They're doppelgangers for one another, and the only difference is the career path they took. If Don Knotts had gone into rock and roll, he'd be doing that little chicken dancing around. And if Mick Jagger had gone to comedy, he'd be wearing the hat. There's no doubt they have very similar looks, and don't ever forget that. Let's talk to James. What's up, James?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
All right. Excuse me. My comment was, and I tend to agree with you in theory. It's you know, freedom is a good thing, but the problem is. The system that we're basing it all on is, I mean, of course, over 200 years old.
Uh-huh.
And in today's society, the morals, the decision-making process is definitely not the same as it was then. So one of two things has to happen in order for the system to work. And ideally, the system has to change, or the decision-making process has to go back to what it was when it was working.
Well, what would that decision-making process be? What part of the decision-making process has changed? That's what I need to explain, I think.
I think it's in the average person, like the criminal mind, the decision-making process, the lack of respect for other people's freedom. There was a time when people respected other people's freedom.
Not the criminals.
Well, there was a time when there was a lot. I think that people walk all over the justice system the way it is now, and I'm a police officer.
Uh-huh.
And I think that people walk all over the justice system, the legal system. There's too many. There have been too many loopholes built into the system. There's too many. There's too many flaws in the system the way it's been, I guess, revised.
So what freedoms would you take away?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying I would have to take any freedoms away. What I'm saying is that the system itself. Our legal system, our justice system,
uh-huh.
has to be, I guess, reworked. And I don't have all the answers to how it should be reworked,
uh-huh.
but it allows the criminals too many avenues and too many ways. You know, just like the statement made to the lawyer in privacy. And I agree that you know they should have a criminal should have someone to, someone who's
an advocate.
I guess knowledgeable in the laws and things like that, but. I also think that the loopholes and, you know, the different things that they come up with, the technicalities to beat their charges, it's just ridiculous. And it wasn't like that you know, years ago when the system was working.
Yeah, I don't know if you look back, the system's ever working that much better. But one of the problems is the prohibition of drugs that has clogged our system so ridiculously that we were trying to force people through. And I think you'll find, a lot of people in law enforcement agree with this. If you decriminalized drugs and prostitution, you really would have the time to not have to rush other people through the system with loopholes and so on.
Well, I agree with that. I don't necessarily agree that making something. I guess the reason they did that was simply because there are drugs out there that are. I mean, I'm sure regulated prostitution, things like that, can be. I mean, look at Las Vegas. That can be it can be handled. But drugs, they do that because of the guy that just called with the meth and things like that. There's a lot of deadly things that are dangerous, and I think that was the intent prohibiting the dangerous substances. But that's almost like saying I guess you're having a victim in a theft, but somebody, a victim of a theft, you know, theft mm-hmm. clog up our system.
Of course, yeah. I'm just talking about the victimless crimes. And I'm coming down toward the end of the show, so I'm going to hang up and do a little earlier than I normally would. But thank you so much, James.
Okay.
Thanks so much. And I want to get one more call in quickly because I want to play the Andy Griffith thing to go out on. So be ready for that, Patrick. How long is it? Do you know? Let's take a call. Let's take Ron. How you doing, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
What's up?
Oh, not much. Real quick, I just wanted to say one the other thing. I'm strict libertarian. I believe we need less laws. I think we just need to better enforce the laws we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an incident a few years ago. Well, actually, about a year ago, where I'm a college professor. I've never done nothing in my life, mm-hmm. and there was some crime in my area, and somehow I happened to be in the area at the time where I lived, and had this rogue detective come after me,
uh-huh.
and just started. Doing all this stuff, you know, and trying to put me in for it, and I had nothing against me. He knew I had a perfect record, and then he starts making up stuff, and it went on and on. Went to a lie detector. The lie detector was funny because the whole thing ended up being this major, not quite a setup, but there was some real illegalities that were that occurred against me. And I guess he thought that I wouldn't do anything, but I went to internal affairs, and we got this investigated, and they say that this is the problem. With more laws on the books, there's more detectives trying to go around the law now, and they're trying to beat a lot of the things that traditionally they would just accept, just to try to get a bust.
Well, I'm so glad that you get out of that, and I am cutting you off very short because we have to finish up the show. But thank you so much, Ron. I'm glad you got out of it. And I want to play one more time as we go out, Andy Griffith and Ron Howard as Opie Taylor and Andy Taylor talking about our freedoms from the Andy Griffith Show in 1969, right?
67.
67. Hit it.
We hit him up with the cell window.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this...
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape.
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul...
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
Opie, the law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
Yeah, this is Ben Gillette, Mike Goudeau, Free FM, CBS Radio. Bye-bye.